All right, welcome back, guys. Tobin and Leroy here on FM 104.3 WQAM, and very excited to talk to our next guest. Anthony Wint is joining us here. He is fresh off a win on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. He is now going to be going into the Octagon this weekend at UFC Sacramento. Anthony, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate you.
Man, Brendan, I'm happy to be here, man. It's been a great day so far. It's going to be even better after I talk to you.
It was so cool seeing your victory, not only to see your victory, but with your former football team, the FIU Panthers, and seeing the video of them all watching you get the victory. Were you aware they were doing that watch party? And is that a common thing, or was this a big deal because you were trying to punch your ticket to the UFC?
It was a big deal, one, because I worked there, one, because I was an alumni there, and I know at least 89% of the team. I reached out to their media guy and said, hey, UFC wants to do a watch party. Would you guys be willing? They're in the middle of camp, so it's a big deal. They just took that time to do that, and them boys went crazy. Man, we're going to get this one done, so the energy's going to go up even more, but I know I'm going to get a Warriors welcome when I get back home.
Where did that rank as far as just, like, cool reactions that you got to see? Because I imagine it had to be, like, crazy with the messages, everybody seeing you have this viral moment, but just seeing a school you had so many great memories at and them celebrating you.
It was amazing, not because I won, but because I get to show those players that when football is done for them, when their time is up, if they don't make it to the NFL, whatever you put your whole heart into, you get to see that. Yeah, fighting wasn't easy to me, and I got to spend the time to actually walk with these brothers and say, hey, if you put the work in, you'll get there. And now they kind of get to see the fruits of my labor, so I can be a living testimony to, all right, whatever I want to do, I can do. It may not be fighting, but I might want to be a firefighter. I might want to be a police officer. I might go want to work in the government. And you going through football gives you the mental fortitude to be able to do whatever you want. It's a superpower.
Can you tell us a little about your journey, Anthony? Like, were you always into fighting? Was fighting something that came after football? Like, how did your journey get here?
I was not into fighting at all, not on a professional level or even a recreational level to defend myself. I can count on two fingers the time I've been in a fight, and both of those times I didn't want to fight. I got into fighting because, obviously, football didn't work out. I was with a management company at First Round Management, who manages some of the best football players and fighters in the world. John Jones, Ilya Topuria, Gable Stevenson, all those names. We can go on and on. And when I was done playing football, I was supposed to go to CFL, and their CEO, Malcolm Caldwell, reached out and said, hey, you can be a world champion. I didn't believe him at the time. I eventually ended up leaving the company, but he planned to see through the grace of God to get me in a ring, and from there was history.
And what, like, can you tell us about your first time going and training? Like, when did you have the confidence that this is in your idea and you start training and you're like, oh my God, I really do feel like this could be a future for me?
So I'm a very cerebral person. I count the cost of everything. I kind of already knew that I would be somewhat good. The X factor is, can you get hit in the face? So my first gym was MMA Masters. Kobe Covington trained there for a little bit. Miguel Baeza, who was at the gym. And I went there, if I'm being honest, dominating in the area of wrestling. I didn't know jiu-jitsu, so once I got on the ground, I got caught with an armbar or a rear neck and choke or something like that. But when it comes to putting another man on the ground, I don't think there's too many people in the world better than me. I'm just too strong, and I know what I'm doing. So I did well there, and then once I got hit in the face a couple of times, once I started to bleed, once I got into my first amateur fight, I was like, yo, we might have something here. And here we are now. 5 years later, 7-0, about to be my UFC debut on the main card. You can't write a better story.
Undefeated, but like, was there, like, do you still reflect on the first nerves of the first pro fight? Like, do you remember those butterflies, or were you confident going into that first?
It wasn't even butterflies, man. It was like an out-of-body experience. I feel like I didn't have control of my limbs. I didn't have control of my eyes. I feel like it was a dream. But the more we fought, the more we went through the amateur leagues, the more I went through pros. I want to say up until the last two or three fights, which doesn't count for much because they all are 40 seconds or less, I didn't really feel like I was in the moment. Right now, going against Terrence Chapman, I feel the most in the moment I've ever felt. I feel the most like a warrior, like a soldier of God as I've ever felt. And I'm going to go in there and take Terrence Chapman out. I'm going to hunt him down, or he's going to have to kill me.
So take us to the night of the Contender Series. You had this incredible finish. Was that different? Did it feel like, hey, this is pressure I'm putting on the show in front of the big boss? This could really be my ticket. Did you feel as confident as ever? What was that night like?
No, I honestly felt at home. If I'm being honest, they could have gave me a lot better guys than Matthew Adams. No rack on him, but it says a lot about the promotion, the UFC, and how they like me. At the end of the day, it's the market as well. They gave me someone who they wanted me to starch as well. Even though Matthew Alves is a great heavyweight, don't get me wrong, but he's not on my level. The pressure I felt, which is a privilege, is to get him out of there in the first round. The pressure I felt is within the first two or three exchanges for him to be unconscious. the pressure I felt and the frustration I felt is when he fell down, he tried to take me down, and now I had to punch him while holding him. I wanted to put him flat on his face. And this is not out of me being any malice or me being angry at him, but if God's put me in a position to dominate another man and create a highlight, it's my job to do so. And more than likely, I'm going to go against a man who's going to want to do the same thing against me. So no pressure at all. I did exactly what I wanted to do. And now we're here now. We're here now reaping the fruits of our labor.
Yeah, we can't wait to see you coming up fighting UFC Sacramento coming up on Saturday. Watch Anthony Wint, and he's going to put on another great show, we imagine. But that Tuesday Night Contender Series is always a great thing because part of it is you have to, you know, you do have to put on a show. Now, you've finished a lot of guys early already in your career, but did that put any little extra, like, I know I got to put an exclamation point on it to impress?
If I'm being honest, not at all, man. I go in there with a clear head. I go in there knowing my capabilities. I go in there with true trust in God, and I know that God's giving me power in these hands. So Matthew Jones didn't have the skills to be able to run from me. And he said to himself, it was going to be over in the first round because I wasn't going to go backwards. He said that he wasn't going to go backwards, but I knew that for skill, he couldn't hang with me. I got a little nervous right now going against Terrence Chapman because he does have the power. But power is nothing. You can't hit me. And I don't think Terrence Chapman has the skill to be able to touch me, to be able to inflict pain on me. And once I touch him, we're going to see how he reacts.
So can you take us into how you wanted to have such a quick turnaround? Because it was said, Dana White said you were bothering him like right off the bat. So can you take us into that? Like, I want to get right back in there. I made an impression and I want to keep on putting myself on the stage. Why do that? Why not bask in it a little bit? Why did you want to make this happen so quickly right away?
Well, easy answer, Brendan, is that I'm broke. I left my job a month ago. Fighting doesn't pay that much. I got bills to pay, man. I'm single, unmarried. I know that if I want to get in position to be a husband, to be a father, be able to take care of my community, buy my mom a house, we got to get this going. I'm 30 years old, about to be 31 next month. Not that we have to rush, but we got to be quick, but not in a hurry. If I would have took Matthew Adams to the second round, I would have never made that call out. But because we could get him out there in 30 rounds, 30 minutes, my hands are still good, my head is still good, we're still in a good space, I can make that call. And now it's on Dana White. Hey, you want to make some money or not? The people are eating this up. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. He put me on the main card, and now I just got to show up again, man. So no pressure, but that's why I can make the call, because it's like we did what we were supposed to do. You show up, if I work at a dealership, and my boss says, hey, you can't have Saturday off, but I sell 30 cars in a month or 50 cars in a month, I'm the head honcho, and I can do what I want. It's the same way that works in MMA. You do what you're supposed to do, Dana White's going to bend over for you, for lack of a better term. He's going to make sure that you are in the position where you can make some money and he can make some money, man. So even though it's a little animosity, it seems like, between me and Dana White, I love Dana, man. He's my boss. But if I do what I'm supposed to do, man, especially on Saturday night, I'm trying to look at $100,000 come next week in my bank account.
Is it already like, it, do you, from your perspective, undefeated, and you obviously, you know, have shown some great skills, but you're in such an interesting weight class in that, man, it feels like it needs new blood, and it feels like you can make a pretty big impact soon. What do you make about being a heavyweight and how far it could take to get to that rise to the top?
It can take as long as you want it to. If I'm being honest, I don't like the name drop, but he's a great fighter. People want me to rag him because we both play football. People want me to rag him because of his antics. I don't look at all that stuff. I cut on tape and cut the sound off. Josh Hokit is an amazing fighter. And what he's amazing at is not just his hands, not just his knees, but his confidence. Mm-hmm. When he went against Curtis Blaze, I looked at it and said, yo, that might be too big of a jump. I don't think I would make that jump. But his confidence boosted him to what? The fourth ranked fighter in the world, possibly fighting Axe Burrow, who's a legend, or fighting for the title. That's because he made the jump. I'm going to have to decide, do I want to make that type of jump? Do I want to skip the line, call my shot, call out somebody who more than likely I'm going to be an underdog against, and then prove people wrong, or do I want to take the longer route, get some, you know, guys who are not on my level, and then work my way up? Either route is good. I got to talk to my father and God to figure out what he wants me to do. And at the end of the day, I got to defeat Terrence Chapman as badly and as quickly as I can so I can be in that position.
Explain the sword. What, you see it on social media. You had it there, the sword dagger thing there in the sheath. What is the symbolism there?
I mean, if we're being honest, there's a lot. There's a lot of doors we can go in. First off, I went against Miles Banks for my fourth fight. He's 6'7". I would say he's about 6'8". I'm all of 5'10". And if you look at the Bible, you look at 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 17. You look at a guy called David. He went against Goliath. He cut his head off. And Funny story, one of my brothers from church texted me right before the fight. He said, just remember, David cut off Goliath's head with his own sword. We do the face-off. I look back at the face-off with Miles Banks, and he has a sword tattoo on his side. You can't write this type of stuff. From that moment forth, I was like, I got to knock this dude out. And then after I knocked him out, I said, I got to cut his head off. And then we get to my next opponent, knock him out, got to cut his head off. We get to Matthew Adams, and then his head has to come off as well. So what has me excited is not beating Terrence Chapman. It's not being in the UFC. It's continuing to honor God with the sword, the spirit, the ruach, this mighty blade he's given me that I continue to sharpen, because what giant can stand up against me that I cannot cut his head off? We're just going to keep putting heads on the wall. That's my goal.
Was faith something that was big when you were in football? Was it something that came into you when you got into fighting? Was it something you had your whole life?
No, I just got it. And literally, when I started fighting, I don't know if I think we're on the radio, but I have a brand, Warriors of the Way Wardrobe. My name is Wint. So for those of you who are listening, W-I-N on the top, the T completes the sword. I got this brand when I first started fighting. I think God gives us confirmations. That confirmed to me that not only am I going to make money when it comes to fighting, but this brand is going to make me a millionaire. But if I go out there and win, then the brand goes up. People don't like to follow a loser. No one wants to wear a brand if they're not winning. So if I just go out there and continue to do what I'm supposed to do, man, not only am I going to reap the benefits of it, man, but I get to tell this testimony, not just to you, but one day we'll be telling it in front of the whole world.
Your journey to FIU, you played at Homestead High School. Was Butch Davis your coach? What was the recruiting element to you to end up at FIU?
So I was, the best way to put it, because we can go all the way back, I was always above average in high school. From wrestling to football. I made first team with wrestling, but I took second in the state. No one likes that. And I made second team 2 years in a row when it comes to football. Obviously, we're in Dade County, so I can make all types of excuses about why that happened. But going into college, I was not highly recruited. We had Ron Turner, which I know his dad is a very predominant offensive coordinator in the NFL. And they recruited me. Last minute, I went on a last recruiting visit. Went out there, came into camp the fourth string. I was starting by my freshman year. I played and started in pretty much every game that I wasn't hurt in. I only got hurt in two games. And then I wasn't a highly recruited NFL recruit. So just to follow that story, man, I was never highly recruited. I went undrafted. I got cut. I got pulled in the practice squad. And now I'm sitting here, and this chip is building on my shoulder, and then I can't play football anymore. So when it comes to fighting, man, I see how God orchestrated this story of me being this underdog, me being this short guy, me being this guy who could never be the head honcho, and that all being because of the decision-making of other people. But mostly because of the confidence I have. Terrence Chapman is in trouble because now I'm at the highest level of my confidence. And it doesn't come from myself. It comes from the journey that God's given me. And I do not want to lose. I don't want to be second anymore. I don't want any more victories, any more stories. Hey, you lost because you took the fight on 10 days notice. No, I want people to talk about, like, dang, this guy took the fight on 10 days notice. And he still outperformed the guy who had time and was fully healed. So a little bit of an underdog story, but everybody has a story. And I'm just writing my own story right now.
But you found, like, you know, you've obviously been through a lot of adversity and athleticism. Like, that drive helped you a lot in fighting, I imagine.
It has. I'm not an angry person, but I'm super competitive. I'm super competitive. I don't like to lose in Connect Four. I don't like to lose in hopscotch, rock, paper, scissors. I'm terrible at golf. But if you give me a month and a half, I guarantee you, Braden, I'll have you screaming. So, man, I'm super competitive, especially when there's something at risk. And there's nothing more at risk than in fighting, because I can go in there and lose my life and be embarrassed in front of the whole world. I don't plan on being embarrassed, Brendan.
Anthony, listen, man, we're looking forward to watching you coming up on Saturday on Paramount Plus. Go check him out. He's one of Miami's own, and excited to see his journey as he embarks on this UFC career. Congrats, man, on a hell of a statement, and we're looking forward to watching you.
Yes, sir. You got to stay sharp.